Hi, everyone, and welcome to Database and Methods, a cyber seminar series hosted by VIREC, the VA Information Resource Center. A huge thank you to CIDR for providing the technical and promotional support for this series. Database and Methods is one of VIREC's core cyber seminar series, and it focuses on helping VA researchers access and use VA databases. This slide shows the series schedule for the year. Sessions are held on the first Monday of every month at 1 p.m. Eastern. Now, most session topics for this series are updated every year. So if you can't wait until June for the 2018 chart review tools presentation, you can view the 2017 version on HSR&D's VIREC Cyber Seminar Archive. More information about this series and other VIREC Cyber Seminars is available on VIREC's website. Once again, a quick reminder for everyone who registered. Slides are available to download. This is a screenshot of a sample email you should have received today before the session, and in it you will find the link to download the slides. Today's presentation will provide an overview on locating race and ethnicity data and assessing data quality in VA and in Medicare. The presentation is titled Assessing Race and Ethnicity in BHA Data. Dr. Maria Moore is here to present. Maria is co-director of the Biostatistics, Informatics, and Computing Core for the Pittsburgh site of the VA Center for Health Equity Research and Promotion. She works with investigators on a variety of health services research projects focused on understanding and improving the quality and equity of health and healthcare for vulnerable populations of veterans, including women and racial and ethnic minorities. Thank you for joining us today, Maria.
Thank you very much. All right. Hopefully you can see my screen now.
Oops. Not yet. There it is.
Oh, you have it. All right. Thank you. All right. So by the end of the session, everyone should be able to locate race and ethnicity in VA and Medicare data, have some knowledge of the quality of the VA race and ethnicity data, and also be able to write simple SQL code or know where to go for using the race and ethnicity data. First, I'm going to provide a brief introduction, then information on locating race and ethnicity in the VA data and Medicare and Medicaid, discuss the quality of the VA race ethnicity data, provide some simple SQL examples that will also let us look at the underlying data, some recommendations to address data quality and issues, and then also links for where to go for more help. But before we start, I do want to start with a couple of poll questions. The first question is, I am interested in VA data primarily due to my role as A, principal investigator or co-investigator, B, research staff such as project coordinator, data manager or programmer, C, clinical staff, D, operations staff, or E, other.
And responses are coming in. I'll give everyone just a few more moments to answer and then we can go through the results here. And it looks like we're slowing down, so I'm going to close that out. And what we're seeing is 14% of the audience saying principal investigator or co-PI, 51% research staff, 10% clinical staff, 18% operations staff, and 6% other. Thank you, everyone.
All right, and then one last question before we get started. Have you ever used VA race and ethnicity data? Yes. Or no.
And again, we'll give everyone a few moments to respond before we close it out and go through the results. Looks like we've slowed down, so I'm going to close that out. And what we're seeing is 54% of the audience saying yes and 46% saying no. Thank you, everyone.
All right, thank you. So race and ethnicity disparities in health and healthcare are persistent in the United States and even in VA, in which we think that financial barriers and other barriers to care would be minimized. So we need more research to detect, understand, and address these disparities in health and healthcare. And in order to do so, it's really important that we have accurate race and ethnicity data. But we do know that there are some problems with our data within the VA. These include issues with incomplete data, inaccuracy in the data, and inconsistent data that is collected over time. Overall, our racial and ethnic distribution of our veterans is about 78% white, about 11% black, about 6.6% Hispanic, 1.6% Asian, 1.4% are two or more races, and 0.6% are American Indian or Alaska Native. And this is our overall racial distribution for our veterans as a whole. Those who use VA healthcare, that does differ by race, so Asians are less likely to use VA healthcare, whereas blacks, multiracial individuals, and American Indians are more likely. So these groups would be more represented in our VA data. We do have standard methods for the collection of race and ethnicity. For ethnicity, we capture Spanish, Hispanic, or Latino ethnicity as Hispanic. For race, we have five standard racial categories that are collected: American Indian or Alaska Native, Asian, Black or African American, Native Hawaiian or other Pacific Islander, or white. And veterans have the option to select from more than one race. And our current reporting method is a two-question format in which ethnicity should be asked first and then race. And the reason behind that is some research has shown that those who identify as being Hispanic are less likely to provide a race. So by asking ethnicity first, it increases the chance that they will also select a race. In addition, the preferred method of obtaining information is through self-report or directly from the patient. So our data are acquired again. Our preferred method is through the patient, through self-report, proxy, such as a family member, and then we can also obtain data through a VA employee, such as an enrollment clerk or a coordinator who's entering the data into the system. The data should be acquired at the time of an application for health benefits, which is this form 1010-EZ. It is available through different modalities, and we also have the opportunity to collect the information at each inpatient or outpatient visit to a VHA facility. And these data are entered directly into VISTA. So where do we find race and ethnicity data in VA? First, this leads me to my last poll question, which is, what sources of VA race and ethnicity data have you used? Please check all that that apply. So there's never used race or ethnicity data, CDW, OMOP data, MedSAS files, VISTA, or some other kind of regional warehouse, or other VA data sources.
And I actually had to take the other VA data sources out.
Oh, that's fine.
Poll limitations, fine. But I got everything else in. So people are responding again. I know when we're asking you to pick multiples, it takes a little bit longer, so I'll give everyone a few more moments to respond, and then we'll go through the results here. And it looks like we've slowed down, so I'm going to close that out. And what we're seeing is 40% of the audience saying that they have never used race or ethnicity data. 53% have used CDW. 7% have used OMOP. 16% MedSAS file. And 19% VISTA or regional warehouse. Thank you, everyone.
All right. Thank you. So I am going to start this discussion off by talking about data as available in the MedSAS files. One advantage to the MedSAS files, even though we don't tend to use them so much anymore, is that the data are standardized. And I'm also going to refer to, we've had some changes in how the data have been collected over time. So prior to fiscal year 2003, which we're going to refer to here on out as the older data collection methods, race and ethnicity were captured jointly in a single variable called race. After fiscal year 2003, these are our new data collection methods. So within our MedSAS data, we have multiple races that could be captured in the variables race 1 through race 7, a single value for ethnicity captured in a variable called ethnic, and these are standardized variables. They have a length of 2, where the first character denotes the race or ethnicity, and the second character is the method of data collection. And for our MedSAS files, we can obtain information from the inpatient setting, from the main file or the PM file, and the outpatient visit or events files. So for our older data collection method, our standardized race and ethnicity variable contains information for Hispanic white, Hispanic black, American Indian, black, this year this is going to be non-Hispanic black, Asian, white. Here refers specifically to non-Hispanic white or unknown. For our newer data collection methods, our first character would denote the standard race categories. The first five options are five standard race options. Then also the option for declined to answer or unknown, which is why there's a potential of up to seven different race variables to capture multiple reportings for race. Ethnicity similarly has a declined to answer option, Hispanic or Latino, not Hispanic or Latina, or unknown. And then finally, the method of data collection allows for data to be collected from an observer. That would be such as a VA employee entering the data, proxy, self-identification, or for the information to be unknown by the patient. Now, turning to the CDW, which is going to be the most commonly used source for race data within VA, this is a repository of data that contains information on race and ethnicity from October 1999 to present. It contains one demographic record for each VA station a veteran has visited. It does contain standard and non-standard race values. And from here on out, when I talk about a standard race value, I mean our current race standards. And our data are available in the table, the patsub.patientrace table. There are two variables that contain race. The variable race has the data under the newer data collection standards. Legacy race contains data from the older collection standards. And if you want all available race data for an individual, you would have to use both variables. And then I also refer here to the patient 3 release documentation because the way that race data has been stored and collected in the CDW has changed with the patient 3 release. And that brings me to the fact that we've actually undergone a number of changes to the CDW data. There's just been periodic changes to how things are stored and formatted. And as of right now, when I created this presentation, none of our available CDW documentation for race and ethnicity actually matched the current data structure. So this is just something to keep in mind. If you're reading through this documentation, it doesn't match up. That's okay. It's the CDW is sort of this constant, I don't want to say constant period, not day to day, but over time, the structure has changed. The new patient 3 domain fact book should be released in a few months. So in addition to changes in the way the data are structured, there have also been some changes in the business rules for extraction of data. And in particular, it does appear that the extraction of our older race data from the older collection methods has changed now in the patient 3 domain. We don't seem to have the same underlying data as what we had previously under the patient 2 domain. Just different business rules have been used. So when we look at our CDW documentation, when we're talking about changes in the way the race data are stored, these are predominantly related to the older data collection methods. So the data may have previously been stored in the patient or S-patient tables through a variable called race SID, which contained the link back to the DIM race table that would allow you to map from that race SID variable to the patient race. Currently, our data are contained in the legacy race and corresponding legacy race SID variable in the patient race table. Under previous iterations, our older race data had also been contained in the patient race table. However, instead of being a separate variable, we just had additional rows, and they were contained in the same variable race as the newer data, but they had a null value for the collection method. And I also refer you to here, there's a reference to the best practices guide for race data, which was a data quality report, I believe from 2012, and we will be referring back to that throughout this presentation. So as our data are currently stored, they're at the patient STA3N level, and we have the most recent data available for the patient stored in the patient race table. The variable race contains patient race from the newer collection methods, and because the patient is allowed to self-select more than one race, we can have multiple records or multiple rows if the patient does so. The variable collection method contains the method for data collection for race under the newer standards. And then the variable legacy race contains the data from the older collection methods. Our older methods only allowed for a single race. It's actually a combination of race and ethnicity, as we saw with our MedSAS data, for each individual. However, because we can have multiple records per patient station combination if they selected more than one race under the new methods, we can have duplicates of the same legacy race value for that individual. And then also note, most patients have a value of missing. At this point, we are about 15 years past the point when the older data collection methods were used, so we have many patients for whom those data were never collected. If we want to be able to use the race data that we have in the CDW, we want to be able to make sure that we're using standardized values for everyone. And at the time of the Best Practices Race Guide, they found that there were 31 non-standard races that occurred in the data. And of these, they were able to map 26 of them to standard races. So examples of non-standard races would be different variations of representing the same race. For example, in the first row of this table, we have, American Indian versus American Indian / Alaska Native. All of these would map to American Indian or Alaska Native. In some of our older data, we had indications of race and ethnicity, as we saw with the older data collection methods. So Black Hispanics, Black non-Hispanic, those would all map to a standard race of Black, and so on. Our non-standard values are rarely used in race, which contains the data under our current methods. We have predominantly one site that does use a value of a non-Hispanic white that does occur. And our current race values rarely use the our legacy race variable rarely uses the current standard values, both because those were not the standards at the time the data were collected, and also because there's more inconsistencies in how the data were entered. For the values, these non-standard values that they were not able to map to standard values, most of them fall under the category of being a combination of Asian and Pacific Islander, Mexican American, or unknown. As of January 2018, when we look at those values of legacy race that are not missing, meaning that it hadn't been assessed, nearly 20% of the data fall into one of these five categories, but most of them, almost 97%, are unknown. So they don't contain any information about race, whether you consider it to be standard or not. About 3% of them do map to some indication of Asian or Pacific Islander race. So as long as you are using the data in a way that those two groups might be grouped together, that data could still be quite useful for you. In 2013, there was another data quality report that looked at race data and the multiple values for race in the CDW. And as of that point in time, they found that approximately 2% of patients that linked to a standard race had more than one standard race identified for them. Because of the way the data were collected and entered, it's really not possible to identify the most recent record for a patient. So their recommendation for handling missing values was first to only use self-identified races if there were any recorded, and then only to use the non-self-identified or the older race values if we didn't have newer data available. So if your conflict is between the newer data standards and the old ones, you're going to go with the new data standards, and it won't matter that they don't match. Similarly for ethnicity, we have current data on ethnicity in the PAT sub, that patient ethnicity table, and it contains the standard values of Hispanic or Latino versus not Hispanic or Latino. If we're interested in data under the old data methods, we have to go back to the race variable that was a combination of race and ethnicity. So in the patient race table, we have the legacy race variable, or rarely we have those instances, those non-standard instances of race that indicate non-Hispanic white individuals. So, for example, entries under the older methods such as Hispanic white, Hispanic black would indicate Hispanic ethnicity. Non-Hispanic white, non-Hispanic black entries would indicate non-Hispanic ethnicity. However, many values for race would not be indicative of ethnicity. And finally, I see that some people are using the OMOP data. So the OMOP data is trying to standardize the way that we store and use our data. And they do have data on race and ethnicity, and it's contained in the person table within OMOP. It has one standard value for race and ethnicity for each person ID, person_ID, which is the linking variable used to identify the patients in the OMOP data. And you can link back from their ID variable to other CDW identifiers, such as a patient ICN. In rare instances, that link is not as clean as it ought to be, and I refer you to their documentation for how that is handled. These data do exclude non-veterans, test patients, and possible test patients. Their method for assigning race is based on information from the Race Data Multiple Races report, as well as using SQL to sort out race in CDW. Their source data lists the F patient table, which we know that information is contained in the legacy race variable for the patient race table, and then also the patient race table for the newer data collection methods. They report 6 categories for race. These are our 5 standard racial categories plus unknown. Please note, this is 1 value per person, so there isn't an option, even if the patient self-selected as being multiracial, there isn't an option here for multiracial. And if you want to use the race data in OMOP, what you really need to do is understand the rules that they use for assigning race, and if you find those rules to be good or acceptable, then this could be an easy way to obtain race for each individual. Their basic strategy is to count the number of distinct values for each race that occurs for an individual. The most frequently occurring self-reported race would be the race that was assigned to the individual. If no self-reported race exists or is the most frequently occurring, then they would go with the most frequently non-occurring self-reported race. And finally, if that doesn't exist, then they will select based on the patient's preferred institution or the most recently edited record in the patient file. Similarly, they collect information on ethnicity, which is predominantly based on the CDW ethnicity data report. The 3 categories they have for ethnicity are going to be Hispanic or Latino, not Hispanic or Latino, or unknown. Again, their logic for ethnicity is going to actually follow the logic for race, but they're going to give preference to data under the newer data collection methods and only use data from the older data collection methods if no new data exist. So now we're going to turn to locating race and ethnicity in the Medicare and Medicaid data. And we have 2 sources of data available to us for Medicare race data. The easiest one to obtain access to is the VA Vital Status file. This is a file that combines data from multiple data sources in order to determine essentially dates of death and vital status for individuals. There's a master file and a mini file. And the master file contains 1 record for each social security number, date of birth, and gender combination found in the source data files. It also contains a complete set of the variables that they use for this VA vital status file. There is a mini file that contains 1 record for social security number and a subset of the data, but that does not contain the Medicare race data. So this variable CMS_race is only available in the master file. So if you want to use these data, you'll have to make sure that you account for these multiple records per person. Medicare data can also be obtained from the denominator file for Medicare. It contains the variable race, which is the same variable that is the CMS_race variable in the vital status file. And it also contains an imputed race variable called RTI_race that we will discuss in more detail. And in addition to the Medicare data, you can also obtain data on race from the Medicaid enrollment file. And there is both an overall summary combined race ethnicity code variable, as well as individual variables. So the Medicare data is a useful source of data for veterans who are enrolled in Medicare. So it generally means that the veteran is of age 65 and older. Approximately 95% of our VA elderly patients are enrolled in Medicare, or that the patient has some form of disability or end-stage renal disease. So for our patients, even those under the age of 65, due to this disability, about 20% of them have Medicare data available or enrolled in Medicare. The data are derived from the Social Security Administration. They're obtained either from the individual or a family member at the time of an application for Social Security number or a replacement card. However, the data that are collected in a way that's different from our VA race and ethnicity data. Most noticeably, Hispanic is a separate race category, and there are no options for selecting multiple races. So we're not able to capture information jointly on race and ethnicity, or to capture information on multiracial individuals as such. The data from the Social Security Administration used to be limited to four categories: white, black, other, and unknown. And beginning in 1980, other was replaced by three additional categories: Asian or Asian American or Pacific Islander, Hispanic, and American Indian or Alaskan Native. And then finally, the Research Triangle Institute created an algorithm to increase the accuracy of the race variable, especially for Hispanic and Asian individuals. This variable, RTI underscore race, is available in the Medicare denominator file, and their algorithm uses the first name, last name, preferred language, and place of residence for the individual to impute a new race for that person. It did improve the sensitivity of the racial codes from 30% to 77% for Hispanics and from 55% to 80% for Asian and Pacific Islanders. So in summary, there are some data quality issues with the Medicare data. Information for many of our enrollees who obtained their Social Security number prior to 1980 is limited to the original four categories that had that catch-all other category. And because of our single question format that doesn't separate race and ethnicity, we are not able to ascertain both. There have been initiatives to improve the data quality. There have been periodic updates from the Indian Health Service. In 1987, there was a survey of enrollees who had been classified as other, unknown, or who had a Spanish surname, and it did request self-reported race and ethnicity for those individuals. And then, as we discussed, there was the RTI race algorithm. For Medicaid, there is an overall race and ethnicity summary variable. That variable does contain information on our five standard racial categories that we use within VA, as well as a combination of race and ethnicity data. So for those who are Hispanic or Latino, those who have no race information available versus Hispanic or Latino with one or more races, and then also individuals who are multiracial as having more than one race. In addition to that summary variable, the individual variables that make up that summary are available. These are the variables ethnicity underscore code and race underscore code one, race underscore code underscore one through five. And so that would allow you, if you wanted to categorize the races in some other way or with ethnicity, that you could do so. There are some additional information about the Medicaid data that makes it not as useful for us to use within VA. First of all, the availability of the data does lag. Medicare data lags behind our VA data by probably a couple of years, and then Medicaid data lags another couple of years or so behind the Medicare data. So that can be quite a gap in time. And we also have fewer enrollees. So we saw in Medicare that we had 20% of those under the age of 65 and almost everyone over the age of 65. For Medicare, we're looking about maybe approximately 10% overall are enrolled in Medicaid. And there have also been some collection changes made to the Medicaid data as well. So now we're going to turn our attention to the quality of the VA race and ethnicity data. And first, we're going to talk about the completeness of the data. I'm going to do so in the context of our MedSAS data, where it's really easy to look at that, because what we find is that we've had changes over time in the completeness of the data, and so when somebody's utilized the system has impacted the data. And our MedSAS data files are created based upon utilization. Prior to fiscal year 2003, less than 60% of patients had usable race and ethnicity. Beginning in fiscal year 2003 with a change to the newer data standards, at that point in time, the old collection method did not translate over to the new method. So we wiped the slate clean. We started out at 0%. And so we saw that by the end of fiscal year 2003, we're looking about 50% of the data were complete, but that has continued to improve over time. As of fiscal year 2015, over 90% of the data were complete. If you do use the MedSAS data files, I would caution you that the completeness of race and ethnicity does vary between the inpatient and outpatient files, both due to the ways in which the data are collected and also to some business rules in terms of how the data were made it into the MedSAS files. So even if you're looking at an inpatient-only or an outpatient-only population, you need to use the data from both the inpatient and outpatient data files in order to capture data in the MedSAS files. And now we're going to talk about the completeness of the race data. The ethnicity data looks very similar. It tends to be very similar, maybe a little bit better than the race data. And again, the completion of the data is going to vary over time based on healthcare activity and when the data were assessed. And the best practices guide, they used a fairly comprehensive definition of utilization and saw that for those at the beginning of when our data are available, 1999, those whose most recent utilization occurred by 1999, only 39% had a standard race of data available to them. As of up to 2012, when the guide was written, we were up to almost 85% had a standard race available. Within our data now, I've looked at this again using a not so comprehensive but a very simple measure of utilization, which is an outpatient visit in fiscal year 2017. For our new data collection methods, 92% of veterans have a standard usable race data available from the new methods. Of those, almost 1% are coded as multiracial, and then less than 0.5% have conflicting values. Then when we look towards the older data for helping us to augment the cases where we don't have the newer data, we can pick up information on an additional 1% of veterans who only have the older race data but no newer race data available. And of those, about 1.3% have conflicting values. So compared to what we've had in the past, the completion of our race data is very good. However, I understand compared to other data that we have available to our administrative data sources, the amount of missing data is still quite high. And then we look at the ethnicity data. This is coming from the ethnicity guide. Another measure of the completeness of data is just how much data do you have on all patients total in the system. And when they looked at that in fiscal year 2012, they found that 61% of patients had an ethnicity value recorded. But again, when they looked at more recent activity for those patients, we saw that 88% as of fiscal year 2012, when the guide was written, had recent they had data available. Most had self-identified one standard category, and about 1% had conflicting data. So the recommendations from that guide for using the CDW ethnicity data was, if available, use ethnicity captured through self-identification. Otherwise, you could use data through the new recording method that wasn't self-identified, and we'll see soon that's not actually very many observations. And then we'd only use the older data collection that's captured with patient race through either legacy race or the race variable in the patient race table when no other data are available. So now we're going to turn to comparing our VA data to non-VA data sources, and I'm going to cite a study by Kevin Stroop and colleagues from 2010 in which they compared VA data to two non-VA data sources, Medicare and Medicaid. There have been other variants of looking at the data in different ways, and even using, we also have some other data, more limited self-report data within VA data. But the pattern that we see is essentially always the same in all of these studies. Their aims were first to estimate the extent to which missing usable race data in what was then the MedSAS files could be reused using these non-VA data sources, and also to evaluate the agreement between the VA self-reported data and the other two data sources. Their cohort was a 10% representative sample of VA patients who obtained services during fiscal years 2004 to 2005, approximately 570,000 patients. And as of that point in time, about 52% were missing usable race from the VA data sources. and assessing the extent to which they could reduce the missing data. This was done by breaking the cohort up by age. And the reason for this is that the availability of these additional data sources also varied by age. For those over the age of 65, 53% were missing usable VA race data, but of those, 95% had usable Medicare data, since most of our VA enrollees are also over the age of 65 are also enrolled in Medicare. For those under the age of 65, they also had Department of Defense data that were available. Those data were only available for veterans from certain calendar time period onward, and so it actually wasn't a very usable data source for those over the age of 65. But for those who are missing VA race data under the age of 65, 18% had usable Medicare data, 37% had usable Department of Defense data, and in combination, 52% had usable data from Medicare or Department of Defense. Now, if you're using a more recent cohort, the amount of missing data that you might have for your cohort should be far better than 50% missing, but the percent of those that are missing that could be filled in from these other data sources is probably still going to be somewhat similar. Their second aim also looked at the concordance between the VA and non-VA data sources. And what they found, which is also a common finding in this type of study, is that the agreement was very good for all the data sources for white and African American veterans. The agreement was poor for non-African American minorities, and there they found the agreement ranged from 27 to 55%. And also, when using the Medicare data, we were not really able to identify Hispanics well, and that's because most were classified by race, 64% were coded as white, rather than as Hispanic. Only 25% were coded as Hispanic in the Medicare data. And also, in order to use the data from the multiple data sources that had data collected at different levels, and because of the poor agreement for these minorities, they had to collapse Asian, Pacific Islanders, and other minorities into one category. So now I'm going to provide some simple examples using SQL to look at the data and really to get kind of an idea of what do our underlying data look like with some simple frequencies. But before I start, I just want to refer you to some more comprehensive guides for using SQL. The first is this Getting Started with Using SQL seminar series. The next is the Race Data Best Practices Guide. It has several examples in there for using the race and ethnicity data. Again, keep in mind that the structure of the race data has changed, but our newer data should, from the newer collection methods, should still be stored as shown in that guide. And then also the Researcher's Notebook, Using SQL to Sort Out Race in CDW. Again, our data have changed since then, but there are lots of good examples, and they also differ. I think both of these guides provide you with some very different examples of performing more complex tasks with the data. So my first example is just a simple frequency of what do the underlying data in the patient race table look like for the variable race, which is collected under the newer data collection methods. And when we look at the data, we see that most of our records, about almost 17 million records, are listed for white. Next most common is black or African American. And when we come down to the bottom, we start to see, although most of our values are standard values, we have some non-standard values, most noticeably about 58,000 records for white, not of Hispanic origin. I do believe those predominantly come from one site and may all come from maybe as little as two or three sites. And then we do have a handful of non-standard missing or unknown at this time values. If you're only using the newer race data, it's probably fairly easy to standardize these results because there are so few non-standard values. But in general, you would want to be able to map from non-standard values to standard values. And I'm going to show you an example from the Best Data Practices Guide, the Race Data Best Practices Guide. The code is shown on page 10. I'm only going to show you a snippet of the code, and it shows how you can create a table that's going to map between the non-standard and the standard values. When I created this code, I found that there were some additional codes, and we just saw these unknown at this time missing values that had not been stored in underlying data at the point of that guide. Obviously, before you ever created any kind of translation table between the values in your study and the values you want, you would look and see what your actual values are. In addition, this was really focused on mapping to standard values, and so things that could not map were put into an unable to map category. For your purposes for your study, you probably want to categorize them differently. So, for example, unknown and missing may want to be coded explicitly as such. And then some of the categories, such as combinations of Asian and Pacific Islander that don't map to current standards, may map to categories that you're using for your study. So this is just one approach. I just find that with using SQL, it's really easy to basically create your own mini DIM tables or translation tables to use with the data. But you can also program the values explicitly to code them into different groups. And this is an example that's shown in the sorting using SQL to sort out race guide. So using the example from the race data best practices guide, they construct a translation table from scratch. And I just want to show you the first top bit of code is really if you ever have to overwrite your table, you're going to have to drop your table first. In order to do that, the first piece of this code looks to see if the table already exists. And then if it exists, it will drop it. If it doesn't exist, then it won't drop it. Because if you try to drop it and it doesn't exist, you'll also get an error message. And also for this example, I'm using this hashtag in front of my table names in order to create temporary tables. So the method for that they use for creating the table is to create a table definition. I'm going to call this my hashtag race translation table, as they do. And I'm going to define the variables, inbound race, and the variable type, which is going to be a varchar 50, and standard race. And then you can insert your values. You can insert each new row into the table. I'm going to insert into hashtag race translation table values, and it provides the two values that in the order that they were created for the table. And I just also wanted to point out, if you do use this example, they are putting in a value of null into their translation table. That's actually the text null. It's not the same as an underlying null value. We actually can't link on an underlying null value. In previous iterations of the data, you would have had to turn that null value into something else. For example, you could actually turn it into the text null. You would be able to map it that way. And so on. So then you would add each of your other categories, and this would create this table, race translation table. And then in order to use it, if I want to map between non-standard and standard races, all I have to do is link my patient race table to my temporary race translation table, and I'm going to link on my newer race data, the race variable, to the inbound race. And then when I do that, I can see that now all of my white observations are contained under white. I no longer have that white non-Hispanic group. And then those handful of values that were the missing or unknown at this time are now coded as unable to map. Similarly, I can look at the values in the patient ethnicity table, and those map to our standard values of Hispanic or Latino, not Hispanic or Latino, declined to answer, or unknown by patient. We can see from these data that approximately 5% of these responses are Hispanic or Latino, and that we do have a handful of these non-standard values of missing or unknown at this time. And then finally, I want to show you the data collection method. We know, we still have a handful of unknown or missing values, but our allowable values were proxy, observer, unknown, or self-identification. And I just want to point out that essentially 99% of our data contain the default value, which is self-identification. This value is rarely changed. We've had a couple of studies where we've actually gone and sat with the clerks as they enter the information into the system. We've had clerks that have never changed this value. They didn't know how to change it. So just keep in mind, just because it says it's self-identification, does not necessarily mean that the data were obtained through self-identification. And then finally, I'm going to show you the legacy race variable. And if you are using this variable, here's where it's going to be important to standardize. If you're using data from other data sources, such as Vista or other regional warehouses, you may also encounter more non-standardized race entries. when I'm using the data from this legacy race variable, just remember that I had a data table. My patient race table is set up so that I have multiple rows for patients who self-identified as having more than one race using the newer data collection method. So that can result in some duplicate values for my legacy race variable, which only allows one observation per person per station combination. So in order to make sure I'm removing the duplicates, I'm going to select distinct patient SID legacy race combinations for my patient race table, and then I'm going to do my count on that variable. And I'm only showing a subset of the data here. What we can see is that most of our records are missing. Over 18.5 million, these are patients who do not have an assessment using the older race data collection methods stored in that data table. And we can also see the non-standard data. For example, row 2, I have white not of Hispanic origin with a space between white, comma, space not of Hispanic origin versus line 6 where it's white, comma, no space, the not of Hispanic origin. So these are the types of values that I want to combine together, that they're not written in a standard way. And then plus we also know that we have other values that indicate race and ethnicity that we might want to only pull out the race for those values. So now if I want to standardize those race values, here is where my race translation table comes in to be pretty handy. Again, I'm going to select my distinct values for legacy race. I'm going to link those to my race translation table. This time I'm going to join on my legacy race variable to my race translation table. I'm going to find that most of my records are going to go to unable to map because, again, I don't have a meaningful like missing or unknown category. I just have that unable to map category right now. This cleans up my other values, all my white, Hispanics, non-Hispanics, spaces, no spaces, all go into white. We'll note that I have very few observations for Native Hawaiian or other Pacific Islander or an Asian because most of those are captured jointly and they went into the unable to map category. So if I really want to use those individuals for my study, which I probably would, I need to create a more meaningful group for them. And then finally, I just want to show an example of putting the data in what I call a long format. So if we have all this race data for these individuals, and so far we've been talking about at the patient station level, I probably want to create data that has, just because SQL processes so nicely over my group variable, I can process over my person. If I have a separate row for each observation of the data, then I can process over those to create my decision rule for the final race for that individual. For this example, I'm creating a dummy cohort file that I'm calling random patients. This is a temporary file, and I'm pulling in just the top 100 patient SIDs from the patient table. Now, if I'm really trying to create a race variable, a summary measure for a person, I'm going to probably want to pull in the patient ICN at this point so that I have things at the actual patient level, not the patient station level, and maybe additional information such as the preferred facility for that patient or other things that might help me in resolving discrepancies between discrepant values if there are any that occur for my patients. In order to set this data together for the patients, I'm going to have to use the same structure between my new data, which I have first. So I'm pulling my patient SID, my station, the race, and the collection method. This is all from the newer data. And I'm joining my cohort to my patient race table, and I'm joining based on the patient SIDs. Now I'm going to use the union command to then set in my older race data. Again, I'm going to pull in, I have to use the same columns with the same data types. So I'm going to have my patient SID, my STA3N. I'm pulling in legacy race, which is my older data. I've renamed it as race here. I don't actually need to do that. It's going to use the name for my first data file. I do need to have a value here for data collection method because that it doesn't exist for the legacy race. I chose to call it, just give it a null value. You could have assigned it a meaningful value. And again, I'm linking back on the distinct values and back to my random cohort based on the patient SID. Now, in this particular example, I was very explicit about noting where I had the duplicate values, and I used this distinct command in order to reduce the duplicate values. And union all will allow, if I didn't have distinct values, I would have kept those duplicates. I just want to make it, you know, make sure that you're really aware of where the duplicates are occurring in your data and explicitly taking care of that. In this particular situation, if I did not have this all option here, it would actually remove the duplicates for me, and I wouldn't have had to go through this step. But just because I want to keep that in mind for this example, again, that I have duplicate values there and be explicitly aware that I'm handling those as I choose. So finally, I'm going to talk about recommendations to address data quality issues. The general recommendations, again, are to use the data from the newer data collection methods. Most data give preference to self-identified race. Given the lack of variability in that data collection method, I think that is optional. You can just use all data from the newer data collection methods without that distinction, if you so desire. And only use data from the older data collection methods if the newer data do not exist. Just be aware also, if you're looking at ethnicity from the older data collection method, you're going to have to go back to the older race variables because those jointly contain information on race and ethnicity. If you're using MedSAS, you want to use race and ethnicity from both the inpatient and outpatient files. For your particular study, if you have patients from, you know, particular sites or you have patients that have particular types of utilization, these may all be, you know, reasons that you have for giving preference to data from one site over another if you have conflicting information. So you always want to take that into account for your particular study. We can use data from non-VA data sources. They can help with reducing the amount of missing data that we have. You do want to carefully consider any potential bias in those sources and also be aware that you may well have to classify non-Black minorities as others when using data from other sources. We've talked about some potential supplementary data sources. In addition, most of these data sources would also require a separate process for applying for being able to use the data. When we use the Medicare data, just remember that if you're using the vital status file, you're going to have to map based on the date of birth, gender, and social security number. That we can't really use the Medicare data well to identify Hispanics, although if Hispanics or Asians are of particular interest, you may have want to apply for that RTI underscore race variable. And then finally, where do you go for more help? VIREC has a lovely race and ethnicity page, which contains links to, I think, probably all the documents that I referred to here as sources. Just, again, be aware that although our data from our newer collection standards really have kept the same format in our tables, we've had changes in how the older race data are stored, and so it's not necessarily going to match the documentation. Here's various links for other data resources within VIREC. Most of these are from the VA intranet, although the VA, the VIREC cyber seminars are not. If you have specific questions, I would recommend highly the HSR&D data listserv. If you do have a question, I would first search the archive to make sure it hasn't already been answered before you post a question to the listserv. You can get individual attention from VIREC, either through email or by calling. Here's contact information again for VIREC and myself. And finally, the remaining slides that I have in my presentation are just some slides for reference. So at this point, I'd like to open up if there are any questions that have come in.
All right. Thank you, Maria. We do have a few minutes left for questions. I've only got one question in so far. So anyone in the audience, if you do have anything you want to ask, please send those questions in. Maria, I have one question here for you. This person says you might have missed it, but did you say if there was a separate ethnicity field in CDW?
Yes. In fact, I guess I can go back. So for ethnicity, I'm going to go all the way back here. It is contained in the patient, there's the PAT sub dot, where did it go? We're so far back. Oh, it's after here. So it's going to be found in this PAT sub dot patient ethnicity table. And so there is, I guess I don't have the actual variable name. It's either, I think it might be ethnicity or ethnic. That's in that table, but that does contain the data under the newer data collection methods for ethnicity. So that's an oversight that I don't have the variable name in that slide.
All right. Thank you, Maria. It doesn't look like we have any other questions. Do you have any last remarks before we close out the session? We have a couple more questions. I'll just came in.
Okay.
For agreement between VA and Medicare data, did you use the RTI Medicare variable for Medicare?
Which variable?
RTI Medicare.
Okay, so actually, this was a study that was actually, I did not do, this was Kevin Stroop and colleagues, but I'm pretty sure they did not use the RTI underscore race variable. It is actually the variable that we use when we're using the Medicare data, but usually when I see that people have published these comparisons, that they are just simply using that race variable.
All right, thank you. Another question. Are there any known or already discussed issues or concerns with the matchup with census ACS categorizations?
So I don't know of any issues, but that's actually due to my lack of knowledge specifically with the, and this is, you said, with the census categories. That I don't know. I do know that our standards that we use for data collection are federal standards, but it is my understanding that that's sort of like the minimum that you need to be able to collect your data into. And it's my understanding the census uses much more specific categories that I believe are supposed to map into the categories that we use, but it's my understanding their categories are more specific.
Okay. Thank you. Someone commented that the variable in the patient ethnicity table is called ethnicity. Anyone was still wondering. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right. Any last comments before we close things up? Okay. All right. Maria, thank you so much for taking the time to present today's session. To the audience, if you have any additional questions, you can contact her directly. Her contact information is in the slide deck. And you can also contact the VIRAC help desk at virac@va.gov. You can tune in for the next Database and Methods Cyber Seminar on Monday, March 5th at 12 p.m. Eastern. This session will be presented by Dr. Adriana Hung, and she will talk about using pharmacy files for effectiveness research on metformin. We hope to see you there.